Thanks, Ann, you guys, Steve, for leading us. We are in a new series. We've been in there for a couple of weeks where we're trying to evaluate and learn from some of the last words, the last conversations that Jesus had with his followers before he went to the cross. Typically, when you know your time is limited, you want to talk about the most important things. You don't want to necessarily mince words or waste time. And the things that Jesus talked about in John 14, for example, and beyond are really important for us to consider today. We talked a couple weeks ago about the role of the Holy Spirit. If Jesus leaves, he gives us the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt with the Holy Spirit when we place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, his life on the cross, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the cross. When we make that decision, we're engrafted into God's family. And then I've been taking the last couple of weeks to talk about one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is not only for comfort and counseling and reminding us of what Jesus has said, but it's also to give us a spiritual gift. We've been talking about the variety of gifts that there are and how important that they are for all of us to exercise our gifts in the body of Christ. Today, we're talking about that idea again, but we're using the body image. The church is compared to a human body. And the human body only functions when everything is set and every part plays its role, and it has trouble when certain roles aren't played and those kinds of things. So we're asking God to show us this idea that the Holy Spirit gives us a gift. My foundation for that is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. The idea is this, for 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation or the gift of the Spirit is given for the common good, so that we can build each other up, so that we can function as a family, as a human body." We'll talk more about this specifically, but let me pray for us one more time. Father, again, we're just asking you to speak to our hearts. Father, I don't know where everyone is at today in terms of their relationship with you, but Father, if someone hasn't crossed that initial time of faith where they've confessed faith in you, they've agreed that they're sinful, that they need you, Jesus, your death on the cross to pay for their sin, that you can give us eternal life and help us conquer sin and death through your resurrection power. Father, I pray that they would confess that today. For those of us that are more familiar, that know already about these kinds of things, would you renew in us a sense of commitment to follow the gift or gifts that you've given us? The family of God, specifically Chapel of the Cross, this particular family, we need people to use their gifts for your glory and for us to function properly. Help us understand this imagery. Help us to learn today. Holy Spirit, speak to us now, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So the church functions like a human body. We are basically one body in Jesus Christ. There's not much, unless you happen to be family, that relates you, you know, through marriage or through birth and those kinds of things. But we are all related to each other no matter where we come from because of Jesus Christ, because of our faith in him. He changes all boundaries, all ethnicities, all cultures, and he unites us as one family, especially in this local context, as followers of Jesus Christ. We are one in Christ, one body, but we play different parts. We have many different roles to play or different gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Let me just read some of this to you. "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink." This was important because people came from all different types of backgrounds to change their belief system to believe in Jesus. And he's saying Jesus is the one that's the head of the body. He unites the body. He's the one that unites us as a family. We were all been baptized into Christ. And at that point of expression of our faith and following the Lord in baptism, we're also at that point of decision and dwelt with God's Holy Spirit. We all have access to the same Spirit at that same time. God has done great things, and he has leveled the playing ground. It doesn't matter where you come from, what your education level is, those kinds of things, slave or free. We all are united with each other. Verse 14, "Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would not, for that reason, cease to be a part of the body." I like this part because you can sort of pretend, if you want to not be a part of the body of Christ, but you're just pretending. Because of your relationship with Christ, you are a part of the body. That's the reality. You can escape it and try to not pay attention to it, to disobey your role in the body, but that's your choice. It doesn't change anything if you don't want to, except hurt the body. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Kind of like one of those minion guys. I used to watch those with my kids. You know, like if you were all like a giant eye, it wouldn't be much of a body. It'd be like an eye organ flopping around doing whatever. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. God gave us the gift that he wanted us to have. We have to play that part in order to kind of specialize and make up for the needs of the church. We're not all the same. We're not all generalists. We're not all preachers and teachers and those kinds of things. We need everything to function in the right way. And people don't know this. I didn't grow up knowing that I had the Holy Spirit in my life and that I had an important part to play in the body of Christ. I just didn't. I wasn't taught that way. Just like around here, people don't know. I mean, they say they do, but people don't know how to drive the right way around a rotary. Okay, I'm just saying, I hear it from everybody. The person on the rotary has the right of way. That's not true, or at least you act like it's not true. I'm on the rotary, and people bury their heads and don't even look and go, like they got the right of way, and I have to get out of their way. I'm there. It's my right. You don't know this stuff. You should learn this stuff. All of us should learn this stuff together. We might get hurt in a rotary. It's not maybe as serious as driving through the rotary the wrong way, but it's actually in some ways more tragic if you don't realize that you're a part of a body, that you have value, that the body is not going to work without you. You're not only hurting yourself and your ability to grow, but you're hurting other people. We need each other's giftedness to function and to grow and to be the kind of people that God wants us to be. So we're one body. We all have different parts. God gives us the parts, the gifts that he wants us to have. The second idea is this: all gifts have equal value and concern for one another. All gifts have equal value and concern for each other. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are, in fact, indispensable. And the parts of the body we think are less honorable, we treat them with special honor. And the parts of the body that are unpresentable or deserve privacy in the living of life are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment at all because you can see them clearly. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And if one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Some interesting truths here, but the idea that you might think that your gift isn't as important as someone else's is just totally wrong. We need each other. All gifts are indispensable. You know this if you have an injury or in practical experience, if something doesn't work right that used to work. Okay, so all of a sudden you can't use your right hand anymore and you're right-handed. How much of it is a pain of that? Is that, you know, you got to try to compensate and write with your left hand, but that's not what your body was designed to do. And you try to do different things and you just can't function the right way. You need your hand. Even little parts can make a difference. Years ago, I broke my toe, my big toe. I don't know if you know how important your big toe is in life, but it's hugely important. We don't talk about big toes enough. I mean, I'm telling you, you got to take care of your big toe. I was climbing a wall, and instead of just using the wall to spring up, I just kicked it really hard and fractured my big toe. The doc said, oh, yeah, you broke your toe. Here's some aspirin, whatever. You know, they don't usually do things for toes unless you really smash them. But I tell you, for about a month, all I could think about whenever I moved, whenever I slept, whenever someone walked towards me, watch out for my toe. I broke my toe. Watch out for my toe. I mean, it took over everything in my body. How is that possible? It's connected to nerves, and that's the way that God designed us. But that's a great illustration of even little things, like the gift of perhaps giving mercy to those people that are in need. the gift of administration and serving behind the scenes and trying to create an environment that functions well as a body so we can enjoy these services and those kinds of things. All of those have special power and are worthy of special honor. When you think about what goes together for putting together a weekend service, what do we as staff and as elders, what do we have to do to think about the weekend service here to make sure it works? We have to make sure there's electricity. We have to make sure there's heat. Heat's a nice thing in the winter, yeah? We have to make sure that the sound system is working. We have to get all the volunteers to play the instruments. We got to make sure we have classroom environments that are safe for kids. We got to vet those volunteers in the environments to make sure they're not creepos and going to do something bad to our kids. We got to worry about security issues. There's non-custodial issues and people show up and may not necessarily have everyone else's best interest in mind, especially when it comes to children. I mean, there's all kinds of things that we need to do. And here's the deal about the body of Christ. All gifts that God gives are not incarnate in one person. Do you hear what I said? All gifts are not incarnate in one person. It's a body. It's multi-layered. We need all of our gifts and we need each other to do those kinds of things to make sure something as simple as a Sunday morning worship service actually happens. I'm grateful that God gives us different gifts and different abilities. And I'm grateful that he's arranged it this way because it forces us to not be lone ranger Christians. It forces us to be together as a family, to join churches, to help one another out so that God's kingdom can be advanced in a very powerful way. So that's the basic metaphor. The church is a human body and we all play our part. You probably heard that before. Let's talk just a little bit more specifically about some different gifts. I gave you some gifts that we talked through last week. Perhaps you can listen to that again. What I tried to do is concentrate on new gifts that are in different passages that we didn't really talk about that much last week to give an example of the variety of the body of Christ and how important people are. I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are the body of Christ and each one of you is a part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all work miracles? Do all of us have gifts of healing? Do we all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But eagerly desire the greater gifts. The Corinthians, it's not that one gift has more value than the other, but the Corinthians were attracted to the more visible gifts for attention to themselves. So Paul is encouraging them, don't gravitate towards the gifts that seem awesome and get you attention. Desire the greater gifts of teaching and mercy and compassion and those kinds of things, and serve the Lord in a humble way. A couple of ones that we didn't cover last week was the gift of the apostle. Apostles tend to be gifted people that are basically missionaries, perhaps even church planters. They have the ability to go and start something from scratch. They're sent out on a mission and to accomplish something for God. We hear for the first time the gift of teaching. Teaching is an interesting gift. It talks about how to communicate meaning and interpret scripture, helping people learn the meaning of certain kinds of things. Again, one of the things I want you to know is these are gifts that are God-given. They could also be talents and passions that you have, but this is a supernatural gift that God gives. It's not based upon your own ability. You guys hear me every week, and hopefully I do a good job, and I've been doing this now for 31 years. I've been teaching a lot, but I would have... I never would have guessed that my spiritual gift, part of it would be teaching, because I don't like the attention. I get nervous when I'm up front. I study really hard. I try to help people learn. But the things that I do, if they have any impact at all, are driven by God's Spirit. They're not driven by me. Sure, I plan. Sure, I pray. Sure, I write. I work really hard at my ability to communicate and teach, but it's God that does it. And this isn't necessarily the gift that I would have picked for myself. It's just something that God did. The gift of helps. This has to do with someone that just has a knack for knowing what needs to be done, and they show up and they do it. The special acts of service. It's not so much teaching a specific thing, but helping in certain kinds of areas. You just really enjoy coming alongside and assisting others and meeting needs. I don't want to embarrass anybody in our church, and so I won't use names, but there's a guy that I see most every week that I believe has the gift of helps. And the reason why I believe that is every time something needs to be done, or somebody forgets to do something, or we got some crisis with a program or something like that, he suddenly shows up and helps. It's the weirdest thing. You know, I wonder if he could help. Yeah, I'll help. I'll be glad to help. I mean, and it's not like, oh, you know, crud, the pastor's calling. Don't pick up the phone. He's going to want me to do something. No, it's like, I can't wait to help in a variety of different areas. It's a beautiful gift to watch. We have the gift of administration. The word for administration has to do with sort of a shipmaster or a captain or guiding a ship in a certain direction. So the gift of administration is sort of that leadership, guidance, oversight detail where you can figure out where we need to go, how we need to get there, and what needs to take place in the midst of our journey together as a church. We have another passage of scripture that talks about some other gifts. You have to use these different passages to form a comprehensive list. Romans 12. Let's read this one. Romans 12, verse 3. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." Certain gifts lead to a sense of arrogance. They also lead to a sense of saying that you're more valuable than the other gifts and those kinds of things. So Paul says, you know what? I need you to be humble. God, by the way, hates the proud. He loves the humble. And so don't think you're all that in all that you do. You can't do these things without God. Verse 4, just as each of us has one body with many members. Here's that metaphor again. And these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. Let him use it in terms of the ability and the desire and the confidence that a person has. Let it grow in that way. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Some of the gifts that we didn't cover last week that are really, really important. One mentioned here is the gift of serving. Basically, this is wanting to be like Christ, wanting things to be about other people rather than yourself. The ability to meet the needs, not in a public way of people, but in a quiet, unassuming way, wanting to just make things work. I can think of several servants here at Chapel that you wouldn't really recognize them necessarily as even being a part of Chapel. They're quiet. They're behind the scenes. They're always doing very, very important things, but they're crucial to what we do. We have the gift of encouragement. Encouragement has to do with exhorting and challenging people to not only follow the truth of the gospel, but to be encouraged and be at peace in your spirit as you live a life that sometimes can be hard. How many of you guys like to be around people that are encouraging? We all do, right? Not all of us have the gift of encouragement. I can give you a couple of names of some people here, and again, I'm keeping names out of it, that it's just not their gift to be an encourager. I can count on one hand in 7.5 years of ministry that they've said something encouraging to me. You know what? And that doesn't make them a bad person. They just don't think that way. You know what I mean? They just don't always process it in the same way. When someone, though, does say a kind word or thank you for that, or you know what, I know your life is really hard right now, but you're being faithful to Christ. You're really living with courage, and you're trying to represent him in a good way. That means the world to most of us, okay? Some of us don't need encouragement, but a lot of us, most of us do. This particular gift is incredibly valuable, and it's fairly easy to recognize. If you don't have it, that's fairly easy to recognize. If you do have it, it's also the same. There's a man in the church here that, even when he texts me, or even when I first see him, I hadn't seen him in a little while or whatever, and the smile on his face, I just know I'm going to walk away feeling good about myself. You know, he oozes that encouraging spirit, and it's really, really important. Another one that we talk about in here is the gift of giving. The gift of giving. This is an interesting one. All of us, see, sometimes God gives gifts that are supernatural in orientation, but he also gives commands. Okay, so if you don't have the gift of giving, that doesn't let you off the hook. You're supposed to give anyway. You know, that's an obligation of all of us to worship God in that way. But some people have a unique gift where they just meet the needs of people in powerful ways, and they can't help it. And it's usually something in terms of not only magnitude of size, but I know a guy that has the gift of giving that everything he touches has a Midas touch, you know, turns into gold. And he doesn't keep it himself. He just makes more money and gives more money. It's the craziest thing. He doesn't adjust his income. He has a reasonable standard of living. And then the more money he makes, he gives away. And he doesn't do it out of obligation. He just does it because he can't help it. It's what God has touched on his heart. God's given him these abilities. And he can't help but want to be generous. The gift of mercy. These people are awesome. They see the needs of people. They can identify what a real need is, and they come alongside relationally to help meet those needs, to visit especially the sick and the suffering, to gravitate towards those that are alone and need help. I remember years ago going to McDonald's with my wife, Julie, and we were sitting down, and we were eating our stuff, talking about things, and all of a sudden she just started crying. I'm like, well, gosh, what did I do now? You know, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't know what it was, but if you proactively say I'm sorry, sometimes it cuts it off at the pass. And she goes, no, no, dummy, it's not you. And there was an older man sitting beside us that was eating his McDonald's, and he was crying, and he was all alone. And she noticed him. She sat with him, prayed with him. And I feel terrible, but I didn't even notice that he was there. Seriously, I just didn't notice. I'm not the most observant sometimes. I want to be more merciful, but I'm not the most sometimes. But my wife just couldn't help it. These people just have a knack of knowing what's going on, how do I help, and being able to provide significant help. The gift of leadership has to do with the management of the body of Christ, like a role of an elder, the ability to help out with strategy and vision and those kinds of things. Why do we do the things that we do as a church, and how do we accomplish more for God's kingdom and more glory for him? It's a very important gift. I'll read you the last passage here in just a moment, but let me cover one more gift. It's the gift of evangelism. It's kind of contained in the last one, and that's my last point we'll talk about. Evangelism is the ability to communicate the gospel in a really clear way that also really touches people significantly. We are all, just like with giving, we're all called to be evangelists. We're all called to talk about our faith in Jesus Christ. I talk to a lot of people about Jesus Christ, and you might think that I have the gift of evangelism, but I make a little bit of a distinction. Evangelism is not only a passion, but it also sort of bears fruit. You know, you see people come to Christ quite a bit. I tend to be more of a person that plants seeds, and sometimes people will come to faith in Christ when they're with me, but a lot of times they don't. And I think that these gifts sometimes come and go, but they also have more of a supernatural edge to them. I'm passionate about sharing my faith because I know it's the truth, but not everybody I talk to automatically puts their faith in Christ. I learned this years ago. There was a guy that I know. He's not in the congregation, so I can give you his name. His name is Steve. I don't know what the deal was with him. He didn't speak very well. He was kind of frumpy looking. He just sort of was goofy and stuff like that. But it seemed like every time he opened his mouth to talk about Jesus, somebody like fell on the ground and trusted Christ. You know, it was like the weirdest thing. You know, he didn't say it eloquently. He didn't say it, you know, in a what I would consider a powerful way. He just talked to people about Jesus, and somebody would say, "Yeah, I'd like to receive Jesus Christ. How do I do that?" I mean, it was amazing. It was such a joy being with him. If you have that gift, we desperately need you. This town, this community, this commonwealth, and everywhere we go, you need to help us be better evangelists, and we need to see the fruit of those kinds of things. So that's a smattering of some of the gifts. Let me read you the next passage. And the idea is this. I just sort of ask, what's the purpose? What's the purpose of these different body parts, these different gifts? I just want to make sure you you know it and understand it. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says here in this list, it says it was he who gave, the Holy Spirit through God, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Some different gifts there, right? There's the evangelism gifts that I was talking about. Why? To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When that happens, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every word of teaching or by the cunning and craftiness of men that want to deceive us in their scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as what? As each part does its work. God has a plan for all of us. We're to prepare people for works of service. It's too much work to do everything on your own. The body is not one part. It's many parts. We need each other. As we serve in our gifts together, we build unity. We help each other grow. We become mature. We encourage each other to believe right things in Scripture. And we grow in speaking the truth in love. This word for truth here and speaking the truth in love really is a verb. It's not a noun. And it's basically truthing the truth. Our obligation of being in a family together and using our gifts is to live out the truth in an active way so that people can learn and grow. Speak what's true to help people, but do it in love. Not do it to prove them wrong, not do it for your own selfish gain, but for the glory of Christ and for the benefit of that person. As each part does its work, we have the ability to do great things as a church. Have you guys ever heard the 80-20 rule? Generally, it's applied a lot of different ways. One way you can apply it is 20% of the people do all the work of the church. And I wish I could say that wasn't true, but it tends to be true in most churches. Even in our setting, we got a lot of people that work, so we're not nearly that miserly when it comes to using our gifts and serving, but we'll still approach that at sometimes. You've also heard it, 20% of the people give the majority of the budget for the church, and unfortunately that's true as well. So I'm not trying to scold you, I'm just trying to say we have many, many, many opportunities to be a better body of Christ, to be a better functioning body by all of us using our gifts and applying them. One of the reasons why people don't always know how to do that is they don't know what their gifts are. And so we've been talking quite a bit about a couple of seminars that we're going to do to help you learn your gifts, to give you deeper teaching with more discussion, to come alongside you and to help you plug in to a place of service. You might have a certain gift, but you might not know where to put that gift to use. Like I discovered, for example, that I had a gift of teaching, but there was a segment of that I didn't do very well in teaching. And so my gift of teaching wasn't like in general. It was supposed to be design. So I teach pretty well with adults. And you know who I really love to teach is junior high students and elementary kids too. High schoolers, no go. I don't like it. You know, and it's not, I love you, but I don't know why. I just don't connect as naturally as I would like to. But I see God's hand more with junior hires kids and then adults. Not totally what sure that says, but I didn't learn that until I took assessments. I didn't learn that until I tried stuff and was able to observe about how I felt. So JP and Stephanie, come on up. And these guys are helping to put together these seminars and to help us understand our role in the body and to understand these gifts. So I'm just going to let them talk to you about the nature of these seminars just real quick.